Have you seen geese flying on V formation before? Isn't that fascinating? Well, a couple of weeks ago, I saw one. And I tried to dig in and made a little bit study of why geese made the V formation. First and foremost, they made their V formation when they are migrating. And this serves for several purposes. The V formation improves their efficiency over long migratory routes. They conserve their energies. Each bird flies slightly higher above the bird that is in front of him, resulting in a reduction of the wind resistance. Can you imagine that? Each bird flies in the upwash of wind from the bird in the front. And each bird has a reduction of drag, and they increase their range by about 71%. In other words, the V formation conserves the bird's energy and the efficiency of the energy consumption. As the bird flaps, the air rolls off the wingtip and creates a downwash, and the air behind it push upward. If you observe the flight pattern, almost always one side of the V is longer than the V formation. If a bird falls out of position in the V formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance, and the goose will quickly return to the proper formation. In other words, the geese can fly at a greater distance by sticking together. They protect and support each other. When geese grow tired and flying gets hard, their unity supports each other. They honk very loudly. Have you heard them honk very loudly? And do you know the reason why they honk very loudly? It's because they want to encourage each other to keep up with their pace, keep up with their speed and altitude, and even provides a sense of direction when someone is going astray or going to a different direction. Geese learn that they are stronger together than they are separately. One thing is definitely true. The geese are all in it together. Whether they are rotating positions, whether they're flapping their wings, or helping a sick goose, or simply honking, they flock together. They stick together, and they're able to accomplish far more than if they were trying to do it on their own. Friends, as God's creation, we find ourselves woven together. Not by accident, but by divine design. Each thread like this, each strand, each fiber represents your unique individual, your unique story, your unique contribution to the body of Christ. And while each of you has its own unique color, you probably have a unique texture or unique strengths, you're all part of the same what? The same fabric. The same thread. We are all part of the same thread. We are all part of the same body. Apostle Paul, in this letter that we just heard, uses the human body as a metaphor to illustrate this principle. He speaks of the different parts of the body, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet. Each of it has its own function. How many of you love biology in your high school days? I love biology. I love to study all different parts. Isn't that amazing how God designed us? We are all have all these different things, hands and ears and feet. Each has its own function, each with its own purpose. And Paul laid that out at the beginning of this scripture lesson this morning. The body is a unit on verse 12. Though it made up of many parts, and though its parts are many, they form one body. That in the midst of that complexity and diversity and differences of those functions and works of our body, they're seemingly like a symphony working together. Have you noticed that in your body? How they all coordinate with each other? Try to exercise, by the way, and you will see that in the morning. All parts of the body are in it together. My hand cannot go off and decide on its own thing. My foot cannot go one way and try to leave the rest of my body behind. My stomach cannot decide what it wants to control my breathing, nor it can my nose will decide to digest my food. The body just doesn't work like that. If it did, if each part of the body went off and did its own thing, I don't think you can do some hokey pokey or turn yourself around, nor would you even really be able to function. If the different parts of your body went off and did your own thing, let's say your hand will do their own thing and not the rest, I don't think it will be considered to be a body. And I saw that when I was there in the emergency room last week. I saw how my pain in my lower abdomen was felt. I felt it everywhere. I felt it from head to toe. And I'm sure for some of you here, you've been through that situation when you just have a toothache. You feel as if all your body were thrown out. And what is true to our human bodies is also true for the church. For after all, Paul tells us that body being a unit made up many parts. And he says this in part B of verse 12. So it is with Christ. Paul says here that each and every one of us, that means you and me, help make us the body of Christ. In other words, what he's saying is this: the church is that we are all in this together. From the newest baptized member of this church, all the way to the eldest member of this church, we are all in this together. And together we make up what we call the body of Christ, which is a very simple term for what church means. We make up a church here locally called the Plank Chapel, who stood for more than 240 plus years, who testified to the goodness and faithfulness of God and saying to this community that we are all in this together, in the good times and tough times of life. That no matter what storms we may be in, no matter what struggles we may be in, we are all in this together. That one part is not as important as the other part, because each has its own function. Each of you has its own role, and you are not undervalued. You are not minimized. All of us, all of you, form part of this one body called the church. But not only that, the text reminds us that we are part of a larger church called Connectional Church. We are part of the broader, bigger, that's what John Wesley says, we are Connectional Church. That means we are part of a bigger church, far bigger than Plank Chapel. And that we are part of the Heritage District. We're part of the annual conference. We're part of the jurisdictional conference. We're part of the global church. You know, our daughters, Christine and Lane, just came back from Ireland. And they attended this global gathering of all young people from all over the world. And that is the beauty about being part of a larger church. And then we're also part of the whole universal church of all Christians. We just confessed a few minutes ago the Apostles' Creed. That we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy what? Catholic. And that doesn't mean the church in Vatican. That means universal church, which means the communion of saints. The many churches all across this community and beyond. In other words, what Paul is trying to say to us is that the church of Jesus Christ are together. We are all in this together. In fact, he says in verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers in it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices in it. When you get your finger pinched, the other members of your body are concerned, right? And they will rush to the aid. The other members of your body doesn't say to your finger, that's your problem, you figured it out. Likewise, if someone compliments you, then everybody rejoices in you. The same true for all of us. I'm sure that each of us had time when we were suffering. When we suffer, whether it be from something minor or something major, your fellow sisters and brothers in Christ should come to you and provide whatever aid they can. That's the beauty of being a part of a church, isn't it? I wonder how people can survive without the church. I wonder how can they able to navigate sufferings and pain and loss without the body of Christ with them. I've seen this church shine only this past week when you came alongside with me when I had that kidney stone, when you put the roofing on the roofing project in such a short time and raised that money. That was the shining moment of this church to once again testify what it means to be together, what it means to follow that image of the geese sticking on to one another and helping and supporting one another. The same true when we are rejoicing. When we had anniversaries here, you all remember those moments of remembering those times when we had this homecoming and remembering those moments of how this church was founded more than 240 plus years ago. And so how can we foster this gift of togetherness? What lessons can we learn from here that we can apply as we go out today to live our lives and to really be the church? I offer you several biblical principles, I would say. First, we must recognize and appreciate our differences. The Bible says, just as the eye cannot do what the hands does, and the hand cannot do what the foot does, church, we cannot all do the same thing. We all have different gifts, different talents and different abilities. And that's okay. In fact, it's more than okay. It's necessary. It makes the body function. As what the Bible describes, is what makes the body become stronger. It doesn't make one more important than the others, which becomes the second point that I want to raise. Because we need to recognize each other's diversity and differences of gifts and graces, we must value each other. Just as the body gives greater honor to the parts that lack, according to Apostle Paul, we must give greater honor to those who feel undervalued, underappreciated, and overlooked. We must lift each other up and encourage each other and affirm one another because we are all in this together. Thirdly, we must care for each other. According to the scripture, just as the body suffers when one part is hurt and rejoices when one part is honored, we must share in each other's joys and sorrows. We must bear each other's burdens. One of the best gifts that God had given to us is the gift of the church. I'm sure the church were there with you when you lost your loved ones, when you're in the emergency room, when you're holding hands with your families and your friends on the deathbed, when you are at loss and finding meaning and purpose in life, this church stood behind you. Thank this church. Amen? Celebrate the goodness of God through Plank Chapel Church. And for those that are disconnected, invite them in. Encourage them to reconnect themselves. And lastly, we must work together. You know, the geese is amazing. This geese bee formation is amazing. Because they can only be able to finish this migratory route if they stick to one another. Most of the geese will end up not be able to finish the race if they do it on their own. Friends, we function best as a church when we work together. We function best as a church when we put aside all of our differences, our disagreements, our disputes, our own personal thing, and rise above and say to ourselves, what is best for God's church? What is best for His mission? After all, this church called Plank Chapel belonged to Him. It doesn't belong to the pastor. It doesn't belong to any one of us. It belongs to Him. So whatever we do, whatever we don't do, will have an implication. And we will be held accountable to what we do and what we don't do. May we learn from the Word of God this morning of what it means to be together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said.